Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
The city is still alive here. Balotelli, Aguero!
Here goes Ronaldo!
Cross, and Dempsey's denied again! And Donovan has scored! Oh, can you believe this?
Surging forward with real menace here. Brilliant from Messi. Oh, what a goal that is!
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is Soccer Matters. Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome into the show. Boy, a rough day down in the Caribbean to go with what we've been going through here in Houston. The heart is heavy. Lots of friends. The Caribbean's destroyed in so many places as we are struggling to get it back together here in Houston. So I need you guys tonight to call into the show, 713-780-3776. I would have to say I'm very ill-prepared here tonight to do this. So, yes, we can talk U.S. national team yesterday. We can talk Mexico. We can talk Dynamo and Colorado Rapids. But we do need you to call into the program here tonight with what's on your mind. And by the way, if you have any positive stories from what went on here in Houston, we'd love to hear them. We'll have Chris Canetti on the show a little bit later. I think Eddie Robinson is going to join us. We will do a roundtable in the second hour with Janine Becky, who's raised funds here locally for the flooding in Houston. Matt Peterson, who calls NWSL games, used to be with the Dynamo Communications Department. And Bogdan Passat, who's been in the media down here as well. So we'll do a little roundtable tonight here. We're streaming at ESPN975.com. Plus Facebook, Soccer Matters. You can go over there. I do want to get your thoughts and continue the thought process on the United States national team against Honduras and what you thought about this. And then look at it in the context of two games. Yeah, I get the, yes, we did what we needed. We got a point. Well, you were 5 minutes away from not getting the point, being in a really rough place. So look at the two games in the context of performance. And then where we are as a soccer-playing nation. Seems like we're flatlined. I don't know. I've been pulling back and forth in all this. I do understand the whole thing about Central America. It's difficult. It's tough. The grass is high and all that. But it sure doesn't seem like we've made a lot of progress in that area in dealing with playing in CONCACAF. And maybe we're just going to throw our arms up and say it's just always going to be tough like that. And we may never be able to adapt to those conditions better. And I do know it's difficult. 713-780-3776. But you're talking about a team you beat 6-0. And quite frankly, Honduras, in my opinion, should have been lamenting in a big, big way when they sat in that locker room after that game, the fact that they didn't get a second goal, because Elise and Kyoto were ripping the U.S. apart. It's been a second consecutive game for the United States. The center back position has been a major letdown. And individual mistakes have hurt the U.S. I did not think they answered the bell against Costa Rica. I did not think they were prepared to play in that game. I think you have to point to Bruce Arena when you're not prepared. I know nobody likes to criticize Bruce, and he is the greatest manager we've ever had, but even he admitted that he was outcoached in that game, which I don't think there's any question. Tactically, we struggled in that. So I think we sit currently in fifth place. Is that right, Victor? Fourth place, which is the play-in spot. So Panama still wants to win. They'll take on the U.S. in October. So look, I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer here, but let's look at it in the context of the big picture. Let's look at it in the context of, hey, we took a point and we did what we needed to do. Is that where we're at? 713-780-3776 is the number, 713-780-3776. 3776 is the number. Last night we had Alexi Lalas on, Taylor Twellman. We also heard from Warren Barton. So we had a lot of talk last night about the U.S. in the context of where we are. I offered up simply, we may not be as close as we think we are. And there's nothing wrong with that. We can also talk the Dynamo and the Colorado Rapids. I was hoping to get Kubo Torres in here. I've been trying desperately to get him to come into studio. I've attempted a number of times. I can't get him up here. I'm hoping to, because I think it would be a great interview with all the differing things that he has gone through, and his response, getting two goals against FC Dallas and playing very well in that game. I'm trying. We'll get him up here at some point, and we won't give up trying to get him up here, but we do want to hear from him because he is, quote-unquote, the Dynamo star player, right? 713-780-3776. A lot of great things, again, have been going on in the community, but I do need you to call in tonight. I just got off a disturbing phone call. A buddy of mine is all cut up. Wind blew in the Caribbean. He's wrapping his arm with duct tape. He's a great friend of mine. You might have seen those soccer bracelets we did, but he's down in the Caribbean, and it's dire, and I know nobody wants to hear that based on what we've gone through here, but it is all about friends and family. I'm happy to say my brother and his family are all safe and alive down in the Caribbean, and like I said, our hearts go out to everybody here in Houston because we've got our own problems. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. What's your perspective on the U.S. now after these two games? Have we flatlined? Are we getting to another World Cup? Are we going to be brave and cavalier again and go out after somehow surviving group play? Or will we go to a World Cup and get a little bit more possession and try to manage a few games for once? What do you think it is? 713-780-3776 is the number to call in here tonight. U.S. was undone by a lot of Dynamo players. Elise, Kyoto were having their way out wide. Would you want to see those two back on the field together at some point for the Dynamo again? That's another thing we can bring up. Let's go to Kyle. Kyle, what's on your mind to start it off here tonight?
I just want to know if it's coming down to the wire for us to kind of qualify for the World Cup. Is this going to be, what can we possibly expect when we actually, if we actually do qualify? If we're having this much trouble now, Russia doesn't seem like it's going to be too nice to us.
Well, it all depends on the draw, right? I think the draw when you get to a World Cup, but let's not put the cart before the horse here right now, because you still got Panama, you still got to go to Trinidad and Tobago. I have a big feeling that when you go to Trinidad and Tobago, you may be playing to make sure you advance or maybe avoid the play-in game with Asia. So, you know, I would just close your eyes and imagine right now if you didn't get that point last night and Honduras picked up another 2 points. Panama and Honduras and these countries, they want to go to the World Cup just as bad as us.
So do you see it as a possible go ahead and get a victory, and then Trinidad and Tobago shouldn't really be a formality as long as they take care of business, right?
It's in Trinidad and Tobago. We remember all the history there with the U.S. qualifying in 90 on that Paul Caligiuri volley. So there could be some real sentimental value there with a Trinidad and Tobago that wants to play spoiler. I don't think we should take anything for granted. You know, I hear everybody always saying, oh, we'll qualify. Well, yeah, you know, I'm not taking that for granted. I think we've seen stranger things happen. By the way, Argentina's struggling to get into the World Cup, and they just tied the Vino Tinto of Venezuela 1-1. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Mexico fans, you are going to the World Cup. Let's go to Juan. Juan, what's up? Oh, John.
Hey, I was just wondering, who do you think Christian Pulisic would compare to as a kind of his upper limit in the future? You have like a player that you think he could compare to?
Where do you think he'll project out, maybe, or a singular player?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
He's 18 years old, right? He's playing in front of 60,000 people on a regular basis at Dortmund. I don't think we've ever had a U.S. player that's outside of a goalkeeper ever positioned at this young of an age to platform into a big place and maybe one day he's a Real Madrid player, or he's a Barcelona player, or potentially a Manchester United player. Tim Howard, we remember, went to Manchester United in his first year, was voted the goalkeeper of the year in the Premier League. But we're talking about an outfield player here.
And do you think the men's national team will have the supporting players to kind of build around him by the time he's reaching his peak?
Well, we all, I think, hope that the U.S. national team is going to continue to mature and progress. What we would think is, and that was a nice baby in the background. We always like them. I always like when there's like dog sounds and babies in the background, and because it brings us down to the reality of the fact that we're getting a call from somebody's home. It's all good, and I hope that gentleman's safe. So back to Pulisic. I think this was one of the questions we talked about last night with Alexi Lalas and Taylor Twellman is, where really are we? We hear about the MLS Academy programs and the Academy program. We had a private team down here. The Texans win the Academy tournament, which in some ways is a little bit embarrassing to Major League Soccer. I don't think there's any question. But where really are we? I mean, how much money is really being put in to these academies and development programs? I wish we would get numbers from all the teams so that we could look and say, okay, Atlanta's giving it a real effort. What are they doing in D.C.? What are they doing in Houston? We know that Houston has finally produced a good one in Memo Rodriguez, who I think has got a career. I think, and a lot of that is because of, I think he's got a wonderful skill set, but I also think he's got a wonderful attitude. I think he's grounded. I think he's a young man that's not going to get content. Where is some of this money going? Because we can make judgment on who's really committed to their communities and truly trying to grow a team. I could make an argument that being in the Rio Grande Valley, it's not a great thing for the Dynamo. I've made it before. I've even talked to Chris Canetti and Matt Jordan about it. But it's a financial reason for them. So then you can concur or you can disagree as to what does that mean. I mean, I, for me, wish the team was in Houston. I think you lose out a ton of things organically. And I think it's just out of sight, out of mind. Then again, you're going to be told about the facilities and all the other things going on there. But at what point will that be a team down there that really has potential 18 and 19-year-olds on it that are going to one day be really pivotal for your organization? Because if you're going to be one of the teams that don't spend as much money, then you better have a good youth program. And the Dynamo are playing catch-up there. So, I don't know. I'd like to see where and who is spending what with academies and who's going all out. I mean, we know the LAFCs coming into the league are. We know the Atlantas are. We know Seattle and Portland are putting things into it, although Portland is, I think, having some problems with their youth development program, and that's not just based on the fact that they're at the bottom of the USL or close to the bottom. I think it's ultimately a little bit early to do too much judgment, but you can do judgment with the financial resources being put into it. We don't ask enough questions. And I think Taylor last night on the show said, we got to have these discussions now. And I think he's on the same vein that I have been for many years. We have to start talking about these pink elephants that are in the room if we want it to get it better. And it does pain me sometimes that we're not farther ahead down here. I'm worried about the Dynamo on one hand, and I'm excited on the other as all get out because of the way this organization and Wilmer Cabrera and Matt Jordan have turned the team around. That I'm excited about. Is it built for the long haul? I don't know. How important is it to get back Albert Elise? Juan David Cabezas? I've heard rumors out there that, Kubo Torres is on the trading block. So I don't know. What do you know? 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. It's your opportunity to have a platform here tonight. So we're talking U.S. national team. We're talking the Houston Dynamo. We can talk transfer deadline. No go for Virgil van Dijk. No go for Coutinho. Coutinho all of a sudden got very healthy and scored in a World Cup qualifier for Brazil. I'm sure he was being protected by Jurgen Klopp when that was all going on. Western Conference is tight. Dynamo will play the Colorado Rapids. Colorado Rapids on Saturday. $5 for every ticket will go to Hurricane Harvey Relief. I believe it's the fund set up by the mayor, Sylvester Turner. I'll get you some of that information. In fact, I got it right here. It's ghcf.org. That's a place you can donate. You can go to redcross.org. You can donate $10 by sending a text message. You got the America Cares. You got Salvation Army, Houston Food Bank, Houston Humane Society. These are all great places to donate. They're legit. You can feel comfortable doing that. We had stories yesterday from Jay at King's Court, Hilton Koch of Hilton Furniture. J.J. Watt's fundraiser is now at $28 million. That's what I call pretty darn good use of social media. And as much as I sometimes don't like social media because people do a lot of grandstanding and, you know, are letting us know the temperature of their latte at Starbucks and things like that, boy, it has been unbelievable for everything that goes on in a disaster. I mean, I've been watching Weather Channel and texting all day today down to my brother and his family and people in the Caribbean, and absolutely stunned that the AT&T tower must not have gone down, because they were in the middle of it, and I'm texting my brother and he's giving me blow by blow, when he can, because he's worried about people's personal safety. So it's been pretty amazing. Would like your phone call, 713-780-3776. If you got a wonderful story about the hurricane and somebody that reached out, and like I had AJ Hoffman on here, where he, him and his buddy, another MMA guy, grabbed a couple of kayaks and started rescuing people for a couple days. If you've got some of those stories, let's shine the light on those. We need some positive here as well. Are the Dynamo built for the long term? First things first, get in the playoffs. We're coming up with more. 713-780-3776 is the number. 713-780-3776 is the number. John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm, personal injury attorneys. They're going to bring you a personalized approach. DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. They're going to treat your case as if it's their own. DaspitLaw.com. They're going to work 24-7 for you. They're going to fight for your right for compensation. The Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. Houston Strong.
Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
Hello, Houston. It's good to be home. I want to start out by thanking all of you for being here today. A very special day for us to start the rebuild process of our great city. To the first responders, those that are here, that aren't here, we can't say thank you enough. On behalf of the players, the coaches, our organization, we want to thank everyone in the city of Houston that's doing something good for somebody else. We're all very fortunate to survive this hurricane. For those that were, our thoughts and prayers are with your families. To the Mets, I'd like to thank you for allowing us to have a day off yesterday for a day of service. Not only did they give us a day off, they were out in the communities doing things for a city that they rarely come to. And for that, we're forever grateful. Now, we wear this patch on our jersey the rest of the year to represent you. So stay strong, be strong, and we appreciate every one of you. Go Stros.
Uplifting stuff there from A.J. Hinch, the manager of the Astros. And we all need to be uplifted at times here, but we've been getting it from all types of places, from athletes, from our neighbors. It has been incredibly uplifting. It's been awe-inspiring, quite frankly. And there are the high-profile people, the J.J. Watts, the McInvales, the A.J. Hinch, all that. But they're Houston treasures in your neighborhood, and you know it, and they've helped you. And they've responded, and they've been the first responders. And, you know, the irony is everybody's going to need a first responder in their life, and it may be your neighbor. I've heard stories of people getting to know their neighbors now better because of this incident. So the positiveness is good. It's the light in the dark tunnel. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776 is a number to call in here tonight. Again, putting out the donation numbers, redcross.org, or you can donate $10 by sending a text message saying Red Cross to the number 90999. Hurricane Harvey Relief Fund, Greater Houston Community Foundation, that's GHCF.org. That was set up by the mayor, Sylvester Turner. Right now, we're collecting supplies at King's Court and the Gorgeous Gale. And by the way, if you're down at the Gorgeous Gale between 6 and 7 or 8 tonight, and you went and over to Jay and you were the first person to go to him, he will give you a pair of tickets to the Dynamo Colorado. I don't know if those have been won yet. But if you're down at the King's Court, you want a pair of tickets, you let me know. Because you just have to go up to Jay and ask for him. Let's go to Benny. Benny, what's on your mind tonight?
How's it going, Mr. Davis? I really appreciate your show. I've been listening for a while. Thanks for taking my call.
All right, Benny, what's on your mind?
So I'll be quick to let you hear what you have to say, but I'm a first-time soccer parent. My little girl signed up for soccer over here at the Gulf Coast Youth Soccer League in Nederland, Port Arthur, Texas, and they have 30 teams in her age division. And this is her first year, and I was wondering, with this boom, what are some practical things that I can do to help her out, especially with it being her first year? I don't want to do too much. At the same time, I don't want to not do anything at all.
How old is she? Don't hang up, because I want to ask you another question.
That's fine. She just turned 5. She's playing in the youth recs lower division.
So the first thing you ban from your vocabulary is the word tactical. There's no such thing as tactics with 5-year-olds. It's technical. So what you're doing is having a ball at her feet as much as possible, having her run and keep the ball close to her, have her change direction with the ball. It's all about developing a comfort with the ball. Forget about the tactics, and anybody that's down there driving kids to win 5-year-old games will go into the nutcase category. It's all about having fun. It's all about having a ball at her feet and just establishing that connection, quite frankly. So it's not really complicated, and there shouldn't be any angst or worry on your part. Just, you know, have her run with the ball. Tell her, run over to that tree and back with the ball at your feet. Run over to the goal with the ball at your feet and push it in the goal. Just simple things like that. It's all about having fun. You want them to come back, right?
I would love to. This is something that me and her mother both think that, I mean, with the physical genetics that she has, the potential is always there for like a fantasy of some sort of great career, but it's the practicality of the here and now. That's why I just don't want to.
Yeah, well, nobody can have a great career unless they love the sport that they're in. So that's part of your job, is make it fun, have her just change direction with the ball, maybe use the outside of her foot a little bit, turn and roll it with the sole of her foot. But your coaches down there, there has to be good enough coaches down there that are telling you to do that and working with technique. Now, if you're just...
I've been very impressed with the coaching. It looks like the fundamentals are a big thing that they're doing. Good. I just noticed that...
Well, then you're on the right track. You're on the right track. Now, by the way, you said Nederland, Port Arthur?
Yes, sir.
How are you doing as far as... the hurricane.
Oh, Harvey! I'll say I personally live over in Bridge City, and the waters went down. We were able to leave Bridge City a few days ago. But as far as damage and recovery, you're speaking for in terms of Houston, how it's awe-inspiring and uplifting. It's the same over here. It does sound bad that we have experience in this with Hurricane Ike, Rita, and so forth. But the people really do come together as if it's this whole Golden Triangle. We are our own breed of citizen, if that makes sense.
Yeah, you know, I got that sense ever since I moved to Houston that you are like that and incredibly resourceful and very helpful to each other, just like here. I just think that this whole region of the country is, and by the way, I didn't mean when I said how you doing, I think we know how you're doing as far as the trouble down there. I kind of meant personally for you if you got through it okay.
Oh, yeah. Well, we didn't get the worst. We had neighbors that were down my street that actually were the low part of the flood zone, and spent a lot of time helping them out, demoing some stuff and helping them any way they can. We actually, in terms of our location, just wind and rising water damage. We didn't catch like any of nothing made it inside our house. So that was where we're very fortunate.
Well, listen, I'm very glad that you're okay. Remember, it's just all about a ball at her feet and having fun so she comes back for more. It sounds like the guys are working with her fundamentally, which is where you want to be. But don't let the word tactics come into your vocabulary. You're a lot of years off from that.
Well, I appreciate it. And I'm sure that you get your finger on the pulse in terms of the soccer nation. But I'll say there has been a boom in this area with soccer. I don't know if it's the football scare or what, but man, we're some serious athletes down here in Texas, and we may have some soccer programs coming up in the next few years where I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility if Clint Dempsey came from East Texas that we could have someone better than Clint Dempsey come from Southeast Texas.
Totally not out of the realm of possibility. And by the way, I'm trying to remember. I think in the late, I don't know what year it was, but I played a game in the stadium at Lamar against the champions of Ireland called Glentoran, which is pretty amazing that anybody was even concerned about soccer back then. But there has been a lot of youth soccer in that area, and the former Dutch great Jan van Beveren actually was down there before, sadly, he passed away. And he was working in the Spindletop community with, I think, the club called Spindletop. I don't know if that's there anymore, but
I'm not sure. So that's a prominent name down here with soccer. That's in the Beaumont area. Yeah. But yeah, the Spindletop soccer has been. Whenever I'm a baseball guy. When I grew up, I played baseball, but I had classmates that were playing with Spindletop back then. That was probably 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah, great. Benny, thank you so much. It's a great phone call. And by the way, I like that type of phone call because you know what? Even though you're an ex-athlete, you're not afraid to defer to somebody to just kind of, you know, cross-check what you're doing with your daughter. I think it's a fantastic thing you
did. When it comes to the X's and O's of baseball, I'll challenge anybody. I can hold my own. But when it's outside of that, I need to yield to those that spent that much time and focus in this discipline as I did in baseball. So that's where I want to be a sponge to learn as much as I can, but at the same time, I don't want to hinder her progress because I don't know.
Well, then I would say to you, remember how much time you spent on your fundamentals in the game of baseball? Because that's a very fundamental, you got to be fundamentally sound in baseball. Remember all the time you spent on that?
You never stop.
Right. So make it fun, make it about the ball. And the only thing for my advice tonight, I will be her agent when she's ready to make big money.
All right, man. Well, thank you very much. I'll be listening.
Wait, was that? Did you say yes to that? I said I'm going to be your agent one day.
Oh, I thought you said you were going to keep her eye on. Okay, I'm sorry. Well, hey, if that day comes, just understand we have a hard line at 8%. Nothing more.
No, it's fine. It's great. Thanks for the phone call, Benny. And
all right, no problem.
Stick tough down there in the Beaumont Port Arthur area.
All right, man. Have a good one.
All right. Thank you very much. All right, good to get a call from down there. Let's go to On the Cube. He's the color analyst. He's also a former Dynamo player and also a good friend. He's Eddie Robinson. Eddie, how are you?
I'm good, Glenn. How about yourself, buddy?
Well, I'm glad. I'm grateful that you guys didn't flood out. And just give me a little bit of thought process about those pictures you were sending me with all the water in the street down there in Pearland.
Well, I mean, it got down to it when they started saying that when the National Weather Service had to create new colors for the total rainfall maps, and my house was right in the middle of one of those, it got scary. Water was a couple inches from the door. We got lucky. I mean, I can't help but now think about the people that lost everything, and it sucks, and it's terrible. And the good news is that I know a lot of the state, the governor, the mayor, Sylvester Turner, the president, they're all have committed a ton of money all ready to get things going. And, you know, it's the way the people of Houston get things done, the way the people of Texas just get things done, a lot of people are starting to get back to normal and will be back there before most people expect.
Yeah, we've been talking throughout last night as well about the resourcefulness of people in this part of the country, and then all the people that have come in and provided their sweat equity, their support, their commitment from all over the country. It's been absolutely, I'm going to keep using the two words, awe-inspiring without a doubt. All right, so we get back to soccer on Saturday night, the Dynamo taking on Colorado. Colorado in last place in the Western Conference, they're as done as a doornail as far as I'm concerned. I watched their game against L.A. They didn't even look like they wanted to be there, which then tells me in Major League Soccer they might be a bit of a dangerous animal on Saturday night.
Without question. I mean, that's, you know, for Major League Soccer, the parity that is here, you know, the mentality, the mental toughness to not make mistakes. Major League Soccer is still working towards that, right? I mean, you've got to admit that. So it's just such an important game for the Dynamo. When you look at their schedule for the rest of the season, I don't think there are many more that you'd be like, you should circle that. That has to be 3 points. But like you just said, this can be dangerous. And who knows what Wilmer Cabrera is going to do with all the guys coming back from international duty. I mean, fortunately, Kyoto, Elise, Boniac Garcia, they've got quite a few days rest and travel to come back. But they played in a hot, humid environment yesterday afternoon against the United States. And who knows what he's going to do there. Is he going to give those guys some rest, bring them off the bench? I think for this game, Colorado is a wounded animal, and wounded animals can be really dangerous if you don't kill them off immediately. I would love to see Wilmer Cabrera put his big guns out there, go for the kill early, try to get a couple of early goals, go into halftime up, and Colorado will collapse. But if they don't do that, and Colorado makes it to halftime, 0-0, they may come out in the second half and surprise everybody. Scary.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think if you land the first blow and score the game's first goal, I think it's preying on the minds of Colorado. You get a few guys not running as hard, few guys, you know, just seeing the desperation of their position. They're a bad team. I'm really interested to see what that organization will do in the future from the standpoint of what type of direction will they go in. Will they finally go away from this sitting back, defending deep, boring soccer, and will they try to produce something a little bit more entertaining in the future? And let's not forget, Kevin Doyle had a big night when they beat the Dynamo out in Colorado. He may be out injured because he went off injured, so he may not be available, but I agree with you. You got to land the first blow. We saw Elise and Kyoto both start against the United States for Honduras, and we haven't seen that pairing out there too much from the beginning of the season. So I wouldn't think that Wilmer, based on some of the trends and things he's done this year, would play both of those from the start. In fact, maybe one of the two and maybe half of them.
I mean, and that's what sucks, because we saw what they did to Graham Zusi and DeMarcus Beasley. I mean, I love DeMarcus, but I mean, he was outmatched a lot of times in 1v1 situations. Graham Zusi, yeah. He got the third degree from everyone, and the media, the fans, that they couldn't handle it. I just don't understand why, when you have the opportunity to put those guys on the field, it's not like they're 32 and 33, that you need to. They need rest. They recover. These guys are young. They recover. I just, if they're not on the field together, and you know, there's all kinds of speculation, and there are great arguments whether Manotas or Eric Torres play in that center forward role, but Elise and Kyoto are healthy. If they're not injured, they have to be on the field.
Eddie Robinson joining us here. Finally, we're going to have a game at home on the Cube. We've been doing a lot of road games. You, myself, and Cindy Bourbano will be involved with the broadcast on Saturday night. It's another nice night for the Dynamo. $5 for every ticket will go towards Harvey Relief, and I believe that's GHCF.org, the fund set up by Sylvester Turner. There'll be some other honoring, I think, of first responders and people that have done things in the community. The Dynamo are planning that as well. So it could be a very emotional night here on Saturday based on what our city has gone through. Let's go just to I'm a little confused tonight here because of what went on in the Caribbean today. So my mind is all over the place. I was going back to the U.S. and Honduras and your take on those two games. Just, you know, it was quite a love affair going on with Bruce Arena, got the results initially. But if you take a look at Costa Rica, Eddie, and Honduras, it's a little disturbing, isn't it? A little bit scary.
It is.
And we're not hitting the panic button, by the way, either. We're not hitting the panic button.
Not hitting the panic button, but the extreme disappointment button, because these players that Bruce Arena has right now, none of them are, you know, I talked about mental toughness a little bit ago with you, and the ability to just scratch out a result. You go back and you look at the days of the Claudio Reynas and the Tab Ramoses and the Eric Winaldas and the John Harks. Those guys were outstanding players, but they also knew grit, knew fight. And I think that, you know,
Eddie, let me just add one thing to that I think is important, is they had all those things 100%, but they also were at times and repeatedly told, hey, you can't play soccer. You're from the United States. You guys can't play.
Right.
They had that over their head in every game, because I kind of grew up on the fringe of that era in professional soccer.
Right.
All you ever heard was, hey, you're Americans. You guys can't play this game.
Yeah, and that's a big issue with these Americans now, is the sense of entitlement. I'm in the national team. I'm good to go. There's no fight. I mean, I heard on ESPNFC today, there was Steve Nichol and Hercules Gomez and Craig Burley, guys talking about this U.S. team. Are they the best team ever? Talent-wise, individually, the depth of the pool, probably. But they're too soft. They're too soft. In CONCACAF, you have to pull your britches up, put your boots on, get some goals, get some draws. When you go away, it's going to be ugly soccer. This is not, you just have to qualify for the World Cup. And it seems like, to me, that wasn't the case. And I feel bad for Bruce Arena, because he's picking, I think, the best players he can at each individual position. But when it comes to a team mentality and a fight and a grit and a gutsy performance that you need, it hasn't been there. Now, not to take anything away from Bobby Wood, because when he came on, things changed a little bit. When Jeff Cameron came on,
well, they went to a 3-5-2 at that point as well, right? They changed the system.
But the players that Bruce puts out on the field should be responsible and should be held accountable.
What about Bruce? Is he responsible for the poor start against Chile and the lack of being prepared for that game? Is that on Bruce Arena?
Here's the thing. With
well,
soccer,
you got to give me a yes or a no. You got to give me a yes or a no, Eddie.
I'm going to go no, because you can't call timeouts. When you come out and things are wrong, you have to expect that your players are intelligent enough and know the tactics of the game enough to adjust on the field. Yes, you can yell something from the sideline. Maybe you can toss a piece of paper to your right winger, who can hand it to the center midfielder, who hands it to the center back. But once that whistle blows, it's up to the players.
But maybe he didn't prepare them well enough. Maybe he didn't prepare them well enough during the week.
There's no playbook. I mean, you can't say, okay, the first five plays of the game are going to be this, like they do in the NFL, like they do in college football.
No, I'm just saying, being up for the first bell of the game, the U.S. looked, they were out fought. They were second to everything. They were pushed around. They were out physical. That's our game, I thought.
You can say that about almost every single game that the U.S. has played. At some point, when can you say, maybe it's not Bruce Arena? Maybe it's the mentality of these players.
Could they have gotten too comfortable with Bruce because of the whole love affair and winning the 14 straight games?
The egos and attitude that we just talked about, that we haven't seen, the personalities, the inability to scrap and fight, for me, you can't put that on the coach.
But isn't that Bruce's job to bring egos together and manage them as men and get them into different places as men? And I understand your side of it because you're absolutely right. Players are accountable too. I'm not putting it solely on Arena, but I mean, there was nothing that looked good there for a manager or the players.
I mean, let's talk about it. What's the manager do? He says, this is how we're going to play. We're going to play a 3-5-2. We're going to play a 4-2-3-1. We're going to play whatever. And this is what we're going to do on set pieces. The rest of it is up to the players. Bruce Arena can't make Jeff Cameron go out and dominate a center forward physically. He can't make Graham Zusi go out and get forward and kick a couple guys and have some grit and fire in his belly, because that's just not Graham Zusi.
Hey, Eddie, we're up on a heartbreak. Can you, let me ask you this. Can I pop you back on? Because I want to continue this conversation with you. Can I pop you back on in the 8 o'clock hour? Because I want you to think about this. Is this team much better than it was under Jurgen Klinsmann?
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Think about some of these things. Let's continue this conversation in the second hour, and I'll bring you on during the roundtable. Is that okay?
Yeah, what time?
I don't know. You tell me.
Well, I'm about to eat. So
okay, I'll tell you what. You eat, and I'll text you, and we'll figure out the time.
Perfect.
Great conversation. I need to hit a break now. Thank you very much. Good stuff. Eddie there talking about the players, saying, look, players are accountable, and I agree with that. But Antonio Conte, he's a motivator. You're the leader when you're the coach. And I'm a firm believer that whatever happens on the field goes to the manager. Has to. You have to have somebody at the top of this food chain. Are U.S. soccer players entitled? Eddie was going to the entitlement factor there a little bit. I don't know about that. It's been a rough two games, though. I don't think there's any question about that. Quick word here for Kings Court. It's down in Edo. It's 903 Hutchins. Ton of TVs down there. 15, they got a big screen. Premier League matches, Dynamo matches. Friday night, there's going to be a pro players event down there. They're also collecting school supplies. So get over to Kings Court. It's a great spot down there. Say hello to Jay. KingsCourtTX.com. The gorgeous Gail and Peter also collecting school supplies. Take a break. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to the show here. Real Soccer Pub in Edo, Kings Court, right next to the stadium, 903 Hutchins. They've got 15 TVs, a giant screen. Show Premier League matches, the Dynamo matches, 24 taps, a full bar, extensive selection of spirits, plus wonderful pub food. Get over to Kings Court. It's a great spot pre- and post-game for Dynamo, plus all the supporters groups down there like Manchester United's Houston Red Army and Tom Clare, and the Bayou Blues Chelsea. KingsCourtTX.com. With that, we go to the president of the Houston Dynamo, Chris Canetti. Chris, thanks for coming on tonight.
Hey, Glenn. How you doing?
Good. So let's just quickly get a little update on you and your personal situation with your family, because I know you were evacuated out of Siena Plantation. How are you guys doing?
Yeah, all good, Glenn. Thanks. No problems whatsoever, especially compared to what most people are dealing with. So we're good. We're safe. We're sound. And everything's fine. But I appreciate you checking on that.
Big game on Saturday. Could be a game of real emotion, one that we're hoping people will come out and honor first responders and all those great neighbors and all the people that have been helpful to us. $5 per every ticket will go to a Harvey relief fund. Give us a little bit more insight into Saturday. Not only is it a big game in the Western Conference, but most importantly, it's a moment maybe for Houstonians to reflect.
Yeah, I say it this way, Glenn. I think this is a great moment for us to show the world what it means to be Houston strong. And you know, sometimes when tragedies happen, it puts things into perspective in terms of where sports are on the priority list, and it kind of pushes sports down the priority list. But at the same time, you can look at it from a different way, and sports offers a great platform for communities to heal and to come together. And you know, I was in New York working for the Metro Stars back in 2001 when 9/11 happened, and you know, was able to experience firsthand, not only through the Metro Stars but other sporting events in town, what sports did to get people back on their feet and to lift people's spirits. We saw in Boston lots of great things after the bombing, but you know, the Bruins game when the whole stadium sang the national anthem, great stuff at Fenway Park. Even in soccer last year, Orlando City doing a fantastic job to help a community heal after the tragedy at the nightclub there. So we think sporting events play a part, and we hope that our game on Saturday night for the Dynamo can do its part as well in helping Houstonians unite, helping bring some normalcy back to people, probably more important than anything else, just have some fun. And yeah, we're all stressed out. We're all tired as Houstonians and Texans, and this game will hopefully get us away from it all.
Dynamo President Chris Kennedy, what are some of the things that we have in store on Saturday night, Chris?
Well, you're going to see all the I hope people get to the game early and get in their seats. We've got a fantastic pregame ceremony set up, paying lots of tributes to lots of people and leaders who have done great things to help get us through this whole thing. So I really hope people can get there. And you know, from the time that team emerges from the tunnel, both teams emerge from the tunnel right on to kickoff, that's going to be a special time with the national anthem. So it's you know, we're going to pay a lot of tribute to people, pay some respects to people, and then get on with the game, and hope that the game for 2 hours brings a lot of excitement and fun to everybody.
You, as the head of an organization, I mean, the first thing that's going on with this is you got to make sure that there's the safety of all your employees. So a lot of responsibility on your plate.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we have, you know, between the Dynamo and the Dash and the coaches, players, and the front office, we have, you know, probably 170 people in our organization, and luckily everybody came through mostly in good shape, a few people dealing with some things here and there, but we had a great communication strategy and plan in place amongst the organization to be checking in with everybody a couple times a day, taking a roll call, making sure that everybody was safe and sound. Once we kind of got through the weekend, the tough weekend, and get situated and make sure that everybody was safe, we started thinking about how do we get the Dynamo back up and running and set up the training camp up in Dallas. And it was important that we did that, and got to actually give some credit to our friends at FC Dallas who opened their arms to us and allowed us to go up there and not only play let the Dynamo train, but play that Dash game up there Sunday night and raise $25,000 for relief efforts down here. So we got right to organizing that and made sure that the Dynamo families were allowed to travel with the players up there so they didn't feel separated and nervous about that. And there was a lot of logistics and good work done there. And now we're just trying to get back on our feet step by step. And one of the things I'm most proud of, Glenn, is we've made an effort starting on last Friday to call each and every one of our season ticket holders to check in on them. And we're still trying to get through to everybody. But that was how we started getting back to business, was let's call our season ticket holders, check, see how they're doing. And if they need any help, offer some help. And certainly there's some season ticket holders that are hurting, and we've been able to talk to them and are working through situations case by case to try to assist them the best we can. So a lot going on, to your point.
Well, it's a big one on Saturday. Anything else you want to add to Saturday? We do know it's an important 3 points, but more importantly, there's a bigger theme to the event. Anything else you want to add, Chris?
Yeah, it is. It's an important game, no doubt. We need to start picking up points simply because we haven't played in a couple of weeks and I haven't been able to get matches in. But, I hope if you're a Dynamo soccer fan, you want to be at this game, not only for the game itself and the importance of the points, but to help be a part of something for this community and to help us heal and to help us move forward. So we look forward to hopefully having a big crowd out there on Saturday and a real bright shining moment for the city.
Chris, as always, thank you very much, and we'll see you Saturday.
All right, thank you, Glenn. Take care. Appreciate it.
All right, that's Chris Kennedy. By the way, you don't have to be just a Dynamo fan. Be a sports fan. This is a day to just come out and support your local sports team, and maybe you've never tasted or seen soccer before, but you're going there for a bigger reason. $5 per ticket will go to the Harvey Relief Fund. And before I go to break here, I just want to whip off, again, some of the places you can donate. RedCross.org. You can donate $10 by sending a text message saying Red Cross to the number 90999. Hurricane Harvey Relief Fund. Greater Houston Community Foundation. GHCF.org. That's Mayor Sylvester Turner's. They set that up. America Care, Salvation Army, Houston Food Bank, Houston Humane Society. All good places. We've got coming up next, we're going to do a bit of a roundtable here and a couple of topics with a number of people, including our headliner, Janine Becky of the Houston Dash, is in studio. We'll take a break. Before we go to break, a moment for John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm are personal injury attorneys that bring you a personalized approach, DaspitLaw.com. Daspit Law Firm is going to treat your case as if it's their own. DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. Take a break, Bud Light break.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
KFNC, Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gao Media station.
ESPN 97.5.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.